Hi, my name is Renee Hobbs, and I'm here with the DW Academy staff and the talented people here in Bonn, Germany. And today we're talking about contemporary propaganda. We've broken up into teams, and each of us has had a dialogue with our colleagues about where propaganda can be found. Propaganda can be found in news and information. It can be found in advertising and public relations. It can be found in entertainment, activism, and even in education. Let's hear first from the team that was exploring where propaganda can be found in news and journalism.
We had a consensus that there is propaganda in journalism. It does exist. There are very obvious examples. We thought of, for example, about Fox News, which from our perspective seems very biased in its reporting. At the same time, we thought even at institutions like DW, which is publicly funded, there might be examples where certain journalistic projects have outside funding, which might influence the way reporting is done. Now, it gets very tricky when we have this definition that outside influence can constitute propaganda in some way, because then how do we judge propaganda? How do we differentiate propaganda if it depends on the reason why somebody is reporting in a certain way? If somebody holds certain beliefs true, even if they're not necessarily being influenced by the outside, it might not be propaganda. If they maybe know that what they're telling is not the truth, but they are spreading this lie in order to influence somebody, then it would be propaganda, and it's very hard to know where does this information come from and what.
Okay. Now I'm going to give a little warm feedback. One of the things that was cool is that you addressed this issue of the intent by sort of a follow the money idea, right? That's a very good point. Sort of whose interests are being served using the remote control. You were kind of pressing the money button. Where does the money come from? And that might give us a sense of why is this message being emphasized. That was my warm feedback. My cool feedback was because you were speaking at such a high level of abstraction without using a practical example, many ordinary people might not be able to understand. If they weren't journalists themselves, they might not exactly understand what you mean. So had you used an example, like for instance, in our country, a pharmaceutical company might pay journalists to do something about the latest new technologies for pancreatic cancer. And journalists will dutifully report on the latest new drugs for pancreatic cancer, but maybe not mention it was paid for by Merck. Or maybe they will mention it was paid for by Merck. But because I used an example, I captured your attention, didn't I? Okay, so education.
That's me.
Are you ready? Stand up. Here we go. 1 minute. Try to use an example.
In education, we found that propaganda is often used, or was often used, for those of us who are a little bit older and grew up in divided Germany. For example, if you were from West Germany and were going to East Germany, you were told, you know, don't make any friends there, don't try to talk. They're going to ask you about the high unemployment, and you could see the propaganda from East and West. Another point we discussed, that some of us came from other school systems, the very fine line between propaganda and nationalism, or developing a nationalist feeling. I went to grade school in the United States, and I could still pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, or my colleague who grew up in the UK, who was saying that all the propaganda used, we won the war, has led to something like Brexit. This using propaganda to develop this incredible sense of nationalist, what would you call it? strength.
We raised an issue which was for us a key issue and a very, very new development. There are a lot of quite radical political groups and parties who start their work on the web and who first started as digital projects. And we pick out the Identitäre Bewegung. It's an extreme rightist youth digital movement. And they are creating rooms of activities, playgrounds.
They fundraised 200,000 euro for offending NGOs working to rescue refugees on the Mittelmeer. Hilf mir mal gerade. Mediterranean. Ja, danke. And the interesting thing is that it started digitally, but they are using all the key techniques for successful propaganda, and that are.
Oh yes, we really remember the 4 points you mentioned. That was strong emotion, simplified information, response to audience needs, and attacking of opponents. But we also noted that these four elements can also be seen in quite positive movements for activism, like Greenpeace, like all kinds of saving children, whatever. You will find propaganda elements there as well.
And just to make it very precise, they are creating, the enemies are the refugees and all the foreign people around. They create new definitions, new language, a new vocabulary, like, for example, they don't say Abschiebung, they say remigration, for example. And they don't say racism, but they say ethno-plurality. Yeah? So, and I think this is a sort of redefining language definitions.
Yes, propaganda always, always is precise about using language that supports their cause.
This is where we would suggest to you a fifth dimension, which is the redefinition of words and reusage of words for this propaganda purpose.
Excellent suggestion. Thank you for sharing that.
Okay. So, entertainment and propaganda. If you watch a movie and maybe you see a nice American family, the daddy's making pancakes with his beautiful wife and the children in the kitchen. The question is this already propaganda for the American way of life, or is this just an American movie? And that you can ask for every movie basically from everywhere around the world. And a more interesting point we came to later was, is there propaganda in music as well? It might be harder to spot, and also we didn't have the background basically to knowledge to know what if there is propaganda in music, but yeah, it might be an interesting point to think about.
Wonderful.
Okay, so we discussed about the question. There are different terms like propaganda, like campaigning, like awareness raising. What is the difference between the terms? And we said, for example, that campaigning, we would normally say, oh, campaigning is something good because we want to achieve something good. But then if you talk about the rightist party, for example, they say, we do a campaign so that the Germans are Germans and they are not mixed with other colors or other blood or things like this. So this campaigning is positive for them, but we consider it like something negative. And we somewhat agreed that raising awareness is different from campaigning or propaganda in the sense that you would put the context and you would try to give facts from different sides and not only from one, so no distortion.
Thank you very much for sharing that idea. In fact, in every culture, in every country, there are different terms used. Why? Well, the term propaganda has gotten a very bad reputation. Yeah, since the 20th century, the term is loaded, not with that positive interpretation that the propagation of the faith suggested, but with a much darker tone. But actually, that is what this platform wants to interrogate. So let's take a look at that next.
Hi, I'm Renee Hobbs, and you've been listening to Digital Authorship. If you want to learn more about the Mind Over Media platform for analyzing contemporary propaganda, go to www.mindovermedia.eu. Thanks for listening.